Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, November 30th, 2023. Here we are in the Christmas time, and we've got our cheerful Christmas intro for Mark and Friends. We welcome again my daughter, Rebecca, who's got some things to share with us. Recently, she had a chance to speak at the Illinois Christian Home Educators Association, and that's with the young adults. So welcome, Rebecca. Thanks for joining me.
This was my first official speaking gig. And I was so nervous, was so excited. And just as I prayed about what I should speak about, I got to speak specifically to women. So I decided to make my topic, how not to waste the wasting away.
And how did you come up with that idea of that topic?
Yeah, I just looked at what I wanted to hear whenever I was in my early 20s. And I think it's the idea right now, I got to speak to specifically young adult women. And now more than any other generation, we are getting married older and older. And so there's this new generational feeling that right now we're wasting our 20s. We're wasting the age of 20 to 30 because right now on average in this generation, women are having babies at 27 and that's the average right now. So then it's like, okay, so what are you doing from 20 to 27? If you feel called to be a wife, you feel like you're wasting the time right now. And I know personally, I felt that way. And I know a lot of women are feeling that same way. So I just wanted to have an excuse to do a deep dive into the Bible about it. And this was my excuse. You know, it's a great reason to get into God's word. And it's selfish, I guess, because I wanted to help myself. But as I did it, as I did the research, I found so many helpful insights for young women. And it was just so sweet to do the talk and to have so many women come up afterward and just thank me and how applicable it was. And it was really cool because this conference also had mothers that came to it as well. And it was cool to have the mothers come up to me and say how God didn't waste their 20s and how this talk reminded them of their 20s and how God didn't waste it. So it was really cool to see not only the generation that I was impacting, but also the generation that God had already impacted. And one of the women just said it brought to mind God's goodness and God's provision that I had forgotten about recently. So that was really cool.
Well, let them revisit some of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
What were some of the points that you were able to share?
I started out and I talked about David and Goliath. So whenever you think of David and Goliath, what is the story, the key story that you think of?
Little David, big Goliath.
Mm-hmm. And one of the famous things that he said when he was facing Goliath was, "You come to me with like a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And don't we all wish that we could say that? And I even told the women, I wanted to start my speech and say, "Hi, I'm Rebecca Leland, and I come to you in the name of the Lord." Because as believers, we should be able to say that with what God has us doing.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm here today, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. And David was able to say that. How was he able to say that? The reason David was able to stand before Goliath was because of the preparation that God had brought him through in the fields. So I called it your pasture stage. Right now, between 20 and 30, women are in a pasture stage similar to what God called David to be in. They showed up to David's home. They brought all of his brothers to war. David wanted to go. David couldn't go. David had to go into the pasture. And while he was there, God was preparing him for the battle he was about to face. God was preparing him to soon be king. God was preparing him to be a man after his own heart. Did it feel like that to David? Probably not. While he was sitting there in the pasture, he was so bored, he brought out a lyre. Little did he know, God was going to use that lyre to go in front of Saul and to help calm him. But he had no idea. God used the time in the pasture to fight off lions, sort of get physically strong. But then I also love the idea that God used the pasture time to teach David obedience, because he couldn't just run off to He could have ran off to war, but he chose to be obedient to his father and to stay there, to teach him patience. One of the verses that we looked at, which I'm going to actually ask you to read, is 2 Corinthians 4:16.
So we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day.
So it's that idea of we're wasting away our physical forms, but we can have this hope that inside we can be renewed through the Holy Spirit. And David was, and he was choosing to walk with Christ in that waiting period. And he was then able, because of that waiting period, to stand before Goliath and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord. So my encouragement to women and also to young men and anyone in any pasture stage, because I feel like we're all in different pasture stages. We're all in different areas where we're not where we want to be, but God is preparing us for what he sees and what where he wants us to be. And that was an encouragement to them, saying, God has an amazing plan for your life. And right now, what is a way that you can be utilizing your pasture stage? So I encourage the women, especially because I'm talking in the context of Christian women, which was so encouraging. I said, get involved in your church. So me personally, I was able to join my worship team a year ago. And we just talked about today how my singing has improved drastically. Like, I thought I could sing a year ago. The Lord was using me. I was making a joyful noise. Sometimes it was an off-key noise. But it's amazing how God has even used me being on the worship team to grow even me vocally. And I said, it's so cool how God works, because he gave us a church community who has so many skills and talents. Some are hands, some are feet, some are, you know, eyes, you know, talks about in scripture, and we can utilize each other. And I think in the body of Christ, we have that desire to help one another, and we don't tap into that. So I said, as women, if there's something you want to learn, find a woman or someone in your church who will teach you that. And not only do you get the skill, but you get the mentorship as well. So I said, there's such a beautiful resource that we can tap into as far as the church. And God has designed the church itself to need so many different skills and talents to be used that women have. So they don't have to be feeling like, oh, I'm not married right now. What am I doing? Another verse that I talked about was the fruits of the Spirit. And I said, okay, so you want to be a mother. A lot of us want to be mothers, right? What is a way that we can be preparing to be a mother right now? I said, guess what mothers need? All the fruits of the Spirit, and every single day. And I look at the fruits of the Spirit and I think, yeah, I don't have that. Yeah, I'm really bad at that. Well, start working on them. Start working on the fruits of the Spirit now, because they're going to be the same fruits of the Spirit that you're going to need whenever you have kids, right? And I said, you know, if your mother's here today, look at her, thank her. She had to go through it, and it's the unsung heroes. Mothers are the unsung heroes. You have to sacrificially use those fruits of the Spirit every single day and not even be seen. So I know that's going to be an area that God's going to want to grow me. So this is an area I need to start working on now, so that if God ever gives me motherhood, I'm like, oh, look at this. Like, I've worked on these fruits of the Spirit, and I'm sure I'm not going to be perfect in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to need to keep learning, but learn them now. Stop wasting this time. Don't waste the wasting away. We're all wasting away. The world wastes away. The world pursues fruitless relationships just for satisfaction. But how can we, as Christians, what are we called to do? And we're called to utilize the skills he's given us right now in the season he's given us right now. So that was an aspect that I kind of encouraged the women in as far as David and Goliath.
I like that you picked David, because he was a shepherd. And think about that. He was faithful, taking care of these crazy sheep. You know, they're needy. So I'm sure he was chasing him around, you know, fighting off predators, the lions, but he was caring for someone else. And I feel like that's why we're here. You know, find someone that you can care for. Is it a Sunday school class? Is it an elderly person? Is it someone else that you can take a bit of ownership and responsibility for their care? I don't know what that would look like for everyone, but I feel like that gets us out of our own heads and really into a place where God would then use us.
Amen. Like a selfless love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that looks like caring for someone else. I love that. And then even caring for the sheep, what did that prepare him for? Being a king.
Because he had some wily sheep under his care.
He did have some wild sheep, didn't he?
That he had to corral. And he had a big job. So it prepared him.
I didn't think about that. That's so good.
And you also found some inspiration in your namesake.
So when you think of Rebecca, the story of Rebecca in the Bible, what is the first thing that comes to mind, the story?
Well, whenever the servant of Abraham went to find a wife for Isaac, then Rebecca stepped up and watered all of his camels. So that's what I always think of. Yep. And that marked her as being the one.
Yep. And so Abraham sent his servant out and he said, you need to go out. You have to find my son a wife. So the servant went out and he got to the town and he was like, all right, God, here's a specific prayer. The one that is going to be the woman for my master's son, she's going to come up to me and offer me water. Rebecca enters the scene. Beautiful, it says in the Bible. We have to just make that clear. Stunning little woman. She walks to the well. She sees the servant. She offers him water. I love the idea that Rebecca was just doing and living the life that God had for her. She was living at home. She was living with her parents, unmarried, going about her day-to-day life, just casually going to the well when other women were going to the well. Little did she know that that day, someone had prayed a prayer, and it was God's plan that she was going to marry this man, not even in her town, right? And she was going to go on to fulfill prophecies in Scripture. So in Genesis 25, 23, it says, two nations are in thy womb, and two peoples shall be separated. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. This prophecy is ground-shaking, because that is not the way of the world back then. The younger always serves the older. This is God foretelling of what Rebecca's story was. God still picked her. God still chose her. God still answered the prayer of that servant saying, yep, this is going to be Rebecca. And I think it's beautiful that Rebecca was just doing what Rebecca was doing. She was living with her family. And I shared with these women, a lot of these women are still living at home. And it's, what are you doing with your time? And if you are doing what God wants you to be doing, he is leading you to where he wants to be leading you. And it's just a simple idea, but Rebecca was doing what she was supposed to be doing, walking out to that well. God was leading her to his next amazing step for her, which was going to go live in this other country, marry this man, be a part of God's word, the Bible. She was about to enter into Scripture. Little did she know. And what brought her there was she was just walking to the well. And she was just doing what God had called her to do in that time period. So the concept I wanted women to walk away with, Rebecca, is be the woman of God that is following God's will to the well. Snaps, right? And I'm like, even for myself, I want to be the woman of God that is following God's will to the well. And that well can look different, right? Because he gives us these desires. Like, he's giving me the desire to be a mother. Am I a mother right now? No. But what is his, how am I walking toward that well? How am I walking toward these desires that God has given me? I was a part of children's ministry for 7 years. I got to love on kids and use my love for children to bring the gospel. And now I get to be doing young adult ministry. And I get to be like building into young adults at my church and being able to love on them in a way that I could not do if I was married right now. So how am I following, how am I being a woman of God that is following God's will to the well? And I think that's a beautiful part of the Rebecca story. She does go on to be famous, to lie, being famous, to have a favorite child, to lie to her husband, to be very tricky and conniving. But I think it's beautiful how, especially in just in all the stories of the Bible, no one was perfect. No person was perfect. They were tainted with sin. But I think it's beautiful to look at, she was just a human. She was just a person. She did follow God's will to that well. And she did have children with her husband. And she did live a fruitful life. Yes, she made mistakes. But isn't God a good God that he's not asking us to be perfect characters in Scripture? He's asking us to trust him and to follow him. And that can look like just following his will to the well.
So what are some of the takeaways in this story?
So the takeaways were, and it went back to David and to Rebecca, how? How were they able to walk in God's plan for them, even during these hard times? To me, it boils down to believing God. How do we trust God with our lives? Because I think it's mistrust. The times that we get scared, the times that we have anxiety. Why do we have anxiety? We don't trust God. Why do we have fear? We're not trusting God. So then, okay, how do we trust God? And there's so many ways in Scripture, but I came up with three. God gave me three different ways. So number one, how to trust God. First and foremost, believe he's real. Crazy what happens when you really believe God's real. For me, that happened when I was 18 and I learned how to share the gospel with a child. And I had to think, all right, before I actually share this with a child, do I believe it? Do I believe there is a God? Like, do I actually believe this, right? Do I believe that he made everything that I know of? Do I believe that he sent his only son down to die for my sins? Do I believe that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day? Do I believe that? And when I chose to believe it, your life changes. When you believe eternity exists, you live your life differently. So the idea of believing that eternity exists, believing that God exists, and reminding yourself of that daily, waking up and believing God exists just as much as you believe your phone exists, believing God exists just as much as you believe that your job and the things that you're going through exist. Like, the moment you every day choose to believe that God exists, the more you trust him. because it's trusting someone and a being that exists and is impacting your life day by day. And I think if we actively once a day took our moment of, God, I believe you exist. I believe you are here. I believe you gave me the Holy Spirit. I think our lives would be drastically different. And I believe David believed that God existed. And because of that, God brought him through a remarkable life. Not a perfect life because he was still a sinner, but he believed that God existed. So that's my first takeaway. How to trust God, believe that he exists. Number two, take a small step. Rebecca took steps toward the well. God's not asking us for leaps and bounds. Often he is asking us, and it's that idea of like the Indiana Jones scene where he has to cross that it looks like it's just a drop off, but it really is like this glass that he cannot see. God asks us in the dark. Sometimes he shows us the next step. Sometimes he just asks us to walk out in the dark, but it's one step. He needs motion from us and he will do the rest. He will provide the miracles that we're about to step into, but we need to make a step. So I encourage the women, what are you talented in? What is a gifting God has given you? You like to read? You want to write a book? Go talk to someone who has written a book or start writing. You like to sing? Join your worship band. Start singing. You like to play an instrument? Join your church. You like to do all these different things? Find someone in your church who is good at that or literally has done that as a job and ask them to teach you about it. Take a step. You like to bake? Start baking for different people. And it was cool to have one girl came up to me and she said, me and my family own a farm in Southern Illinois and they're annoyed with me because I'm baking so much bread that I'm selling it and I'm not able to even make any for my family. And I said, but that's awesome, right? And she goes, oh yeah, it's a really good issue. But she said, I love to bake and I found a way to use that. And I said, that's literally exactly what I want to hear. And that's exactly what I was speaking on. So take a small step. I'm not asking you to go on a mission trip overseas today. I'm not asking you to make a huge step, but just take a small step because God works in the small steps. And then the third and final takeaway was work at that relationship. I said, we are living in a lazy world. We like ease. We desire free, fast, and cheap. God desires cost, time, and expense. God desires cost. He gave his only son to die on the cross for us. He desires time. He has been around longer than existence. He's got the time. Do we? And he desires expense on our part. Any good relationship is built with time. If God is the most important relationship in our life, why don't we treat him like it? And it's a convicting encouragement where if he is a relationship that we desire, give him the time that he requires. And I've seen this in my own life. I started a Bible study that requires 3 hours of homework a week and 3 hours of group time a week. So that's 6 hours of Bible study. I have never been able to quote more scripture, bring more encouragement to others. And literally while I speak, and I've never been this way, I've had the ability to, as I am talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, my counseling is not coming from a place of my own experience, but it literally is coming from scripture and is because of this Bible study. And it's the idea that I've never put down my Bible and thought, wow, I just wasted that time. Literally never once. Can I say that about my phone? No. Almost every single time I put down my phone and I say, I regret the time that I just spent on my phone. So it's this idea that like scripture is so powerful and God gave us this love letter to read and he promised us that it will, like, we will never be bored of this love letter. There's so much in it. And whenever we're done with the New Testament, just go into the Old Testament. And there's so much rich history that we have to just be diving into the theology and the history behind. We will never get bored of this letter. We will always end up reading this letter and be changed for the good. We need to give God the deserving energy of that relationship. And it's amazing what he will do. So I just encourage them, get into God's word, learn scripture. I'm horrible with memorizing scripture, really, really bad. But I got this app that it reminds you every single day. It uses technology for God's glory. And it reminds you to practice your memory verses. And I'm able to memorize some new verses. And it's amazing what God does with those verses. But you do have to be talking to people. Don't just have that verse in your heart, just chilling. Be able to talk to people and be like, oh yeah, that reminds me of 1 Thessalonians. You know what I mean? So those are my takeaways where if you start trusting God, it's incredible what he will do with your wasting away, because we're all wasting away, but we get to choose what we do with that wasting away. And at the end of the day, whenever we are on our deathbed and we look back, wow, I didn't waste that time that God had given me. And I started the entire speech off by presenting my two parents, Tom and Donna Leland. And I said, I need to introduce two people. I said, this is Tom. And I said, Tom wasted his 20s doing basketball ministry in Chicago. Tom wasted his 20s working hard at a bank. Tom wasted his 20s building a relationship with his mother and father. I said, this is my mother, Donna Leland. I said, Donna Leland wasted her 20s working at a women's homeless shelter. She wasted her 20s going into radio, Christian radio. And she wasted her 20s actually meeting Jesus Christ as her savior at the age of 22. And the women were kind of looking at me and I was looking at them. And I said, I told my sister, April, that I was going to do this presentation. And I started with that. And she said, no, stop. You cannot say that mom and dad wasted their 20s. Like, she wouldn't even let me finish. She was so mad for you two. But it's this idea that that didn't work for your guys's that terminology, because you didn't waste it. God didn't waste your 20s. You didn't waste your wasting away. God was using your wasting away to prepare you for the day that you and dad would meet. So it was just a really encouraging speech. I was so honored to be able to give it. And I was so honored that God would teach me through it and that he was able to teach other women through it as well.
Well, Rebecca, I'm really glad you were able to be used by the Lord to encourage some hearts, to help them to stay faithful to the Lord, even in these years where we feel like nothing's happening, but a lot is happening, and we need to be ready because something else is going to happen that we need to be prepared for. And I think you brought that into focus.
It was such an honor. Thank you for teaching me how to speak, and thank you for giving me your personality, because the more I hang out with you and Dad, the more I realize why I am the way I am, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful for the personality that I have. I am outspoken. It's really hard to shut me up, but I, as long as I'm speaking for Jesus, it's okay, right? So thank you. Thank you for just giving me a voice and for just raising me to be a woman who is not wasting the wasting away.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. You can hear this program or any of the programs previously aired on Mark and Friends by going to our website, hitting the Mark and Friends tab, and it sits there in an MP3 format. You can download it and share it with a friend. It's Mark and Friends.